However, we as a Japan, we really try to differentiate our meeting from the other past APPs. Not only that, we try to differentiate our APPs meeting from the other international meetings, such as ASV or Lehman Conference or IPPs or so. So therefore, you know, we really try to focus on talking about very hot topic of what we are dealing with today. And since we are talking about Asia, so we try to invite many participants and the keynote speakers from Asia, but not only that, we also try not to limit our stage only within Asia.
We want to thank the innovative companies and products whose support and trust make this podcast possible.
DietForge.ai, AI-powered feed formulation with non-linear ingredient modeling and real-time collaboration. Finally, modern software for modern nutritionists. Mycotoxins were found in over 90% of feed sampled in 2025. Don't let mycotoxins impact your pig's health and performance. Visit dsm-firmenich.com/fumzyme. Adiseo provides programs and services to help producers achieve their targets in high-quality, safe, and sustainable way. AB Vista, intelligent nutritional solutions to boost pig health and performance. Vaccinova, formulate to your needs, custom-made vaccines. Healthier pigs are good for producers, people, profits, and planet.
Hello and welcome back to the Swine It Podcast Show. My name is Daniel Linhares, and today's episode focuses here on one of the most important international meetings in swine medicine. It's the Asian Pig Veterinary Society Congress, or APVS, which was held in November 2025 in Fukuoka in Japan. And it was a big meeting. It brought together over 1,600 participants from over 30 countries covering a wide variety of topics. And I am especially pleased here today to welcome somebody who not just attended the APVS, but he chaired the scientific program and the overall congress. So joining here today is Dr. Satoshi Otake, who holds a DVM from Japan and a PhD from the University of Minnesota. And he's the president for Swine Extension and Consulting, which is a consulting company based in Japan. And for today's conversation, Dr. Satoshi, he served as the chair for the 11th APVS Congress. And they use the theme Sustainable Future of Asian Pig Production. So, Satoshi, thank you for joining us, and congratulations for the meeting.
Well, thank you very much, Daniel. This is very nice of you to have me around, and I really appreciate this opportunity to share that some highlights of APVS, because I totally believe that was a great success. So thank you very much for having me today, Daniel.
Yeah, thanks for having us. And so to start off, would you please describe the vision behind the APVS 2025 theme, right? The theme really focuses around sustainability, which can, it's a very broad term. So from your perspective as chair, what were the main goals organizing this committee and making that, shaping that and making it happen?
You know, the APVS stands for Asian Pig Veterinary Society. So this was at the 2025 one was 11th APVS. And the APVS is held each year, so each 2 year. So APVS actually established probably more than 20 years ago as the first time. So we are not the very first to initiate this meeting. So this is like an Asian version of IPBS. And that was originally meant to be focusing on sharing the information and focusing on the opportunities and the challenges of the Asian countries. So we try to follow the history. However, we as a Japan, we really try to differentiate our meeting from the other past APPs. Not only that, we try to differentiate at our APPS meeting from the other international meetings, such as ASV or Lehman Conference or IPPS or so. So therefore, we really try to focus on talking about very hot topic of what we are dealing with today. And since we are talking about Asia, so we try to invite many participants and the keynote speakers from Asia, but not only that, we also try not to limit our stage only within Asia. We try to set up the platform to learn what's really happening and up to in the other countries besides Asia, such as United States or North America or South America and Europe too, which leads to raise the level of Asian soy industry, whatever it means. And also, what we say, the sustainability in regards of that, usually we use that word of sustainability for only environmental issues. But what we mean by sustainability for this meeting is pretty much everything, all means, including profitability, financially, or disease challenge, or anything to improve the production, we think that is related to the sustainability.
Tired of solving swine nutrition challenges alone? The Swine Nutrition Inner Circle connects swine nutritionists who share real insights on formulation, ingredient variability, and diet adjustments. When you need clarity, experts are just a conversation away. Join at swinenutritioninnercircle.com and connect with peers who understand the work you do every day.
Yeah, no, thanks for that background. And again, the meeting attracted over 1,600 people from many Asian countries, right? So from your perspective, what does this level of participation tell about the role of Asia in general as a global pig production and also the role in veterinary science today?
Yeah, sure. First of all, as a chair of the organizing committee, we are so pleased and we are so honored to have such a great turnover because we originally estimated and we expected probably 1,000 or even 900 or so, just to be modest, but we are so appreciated that we have such a high turnover, which tells us that the scientific program that we built was very strong and interesting to the audience. That's why they came to see our keynote speakers and information. So I should say quality of the program is the number one reason why we succeeded to have such a high turnover, and also probably the location of the city, and also a country as Japan. We do not have, we are not very familiar to held such a big international pig meeting in history. So I thought that maybe people think that might be a good idea to visit Japan, not only for the meeting, but also for the sightseeing also.
Beautiful country. What was there, you mentioned several countries, right? Were there any particular region or group of participants that particularly impressed or surprised you, showed up at the meeting?
Yeah, good question. I'm not sure. Many attendees from Japan, and we are so proud of that. I am more than 500. And of course, Asian countries, China, South Korea, Philippines, Thailand, and Vietnam. And they are the most countries, including Japan, who attended a number of people. Besides that, actually, we US, Spain, and the Serbia. I know that the two people attended from Serbia. I don't know if they are company people or whatever, but that really, I've been to Serbia once, but I don't think they are the people who I knew. I'm not sure, but I don't know what it means, but but that tells me that we really succeeded to have the meeting, not only the Asia, but try to have the meaning of the international team.
Like you said, a nice place and good program. So wouldn't be surprised that you attract a lot of different people, right? And looking at some numbers here, it featured some 370 total presentations, 20 keynote lectures, 58 oral presentations, and almost 300 posters, right? So let's dive a little bit here in the scientific content, because as chair of the program, you had a front row seat to the entire meeting. So what were some of the key scientific themes or trends that emerged across all of those sessions?
Well, first, again, we are very pleased to see such a high number of presentations that are submitted, not only for the oral presentation, but the poster presentation. And that was what we tried to achieve. So we are really, really glad that we were able to achieve. To do that, our original plan and the thought that even though it's called Asian Peak Veterinary Society, but we really do not want to limit the interest, not only for veterinarians, but also for producers also. So one of the things that we set up, which I believe unique about, is that we set up a producer session on the very first day of the meeting. So try to catch the interest of the producers. And for the seminar, and we focus on, of course, disease challenges, but more like the production, and more like talking about the general overview of the industry itself in each Asian country, or not besides Asia too. So we tried not to limit, the pathogen academic talking, and I thought that the was able to open the door for the lot of, not only the academic, but also the company people, the production company people even, or genetic company people.
So presentations about vet stuff, but also production, right?
On production numbers. Too, and also we set up the session for the IoT, because this is something that we think that is very interesting, and in the future we're pretty much sure that those technologies should be adapted even more in the soy industry as well. And animal welfare and antibiotics resistance. So we try to pretty much cover all the aspects that we are facing today as a challenge and opportunity in the soy industry, not only the disease.
How about the keynotes? I know you had 20 keynotes. Hard to talk about each of those, but what were the main messages that you feel that really captured where the industry is headed or where it needs to go? Some of the key messages from the keynote speakers.
Yeah, it's tough to choose, Daniel, because we invited keynote speakers because we knew that they are all good.
So yes,
I really thank all of them who we invited as a keynote speakers. They all done such a great job. But I have only one body, so I was not able to attend each one of them. But I heard a lot of good feedback from all the keynote speakers, and it's really depending on what you are interested in. But I personally, particularly, there are several that I am really impressed. And the one of them is obviously Dr. Scott Dee's keynote. That was kind of opening very first keynote speak on the first day of the Congress. And we asked him to talk about a big vision of the disease challenges and the PERS is the biggest enemy, not only in the United States, but also Asia. Dr. D have done such a great job to talk about the, you know, the world without PERS. Let's imagine how good it would be if we don't have to fight against PERS.
Mm-hmm.
Try to motivate, like he's been doing in the United States, because Asians have the same challenges in terms of PERS. So try to motivate the attendees, mainly from Asia, to, you know, initiate something to eliminate PERS and increase the biosafety level.
Yeah, our old boss, right? Both yours and mine, when we were both at Minnesota, he's been always a great leader. Mm-hmm. Since, like a friend likes to say, since Jesus was a little boy and until today, right?
Yeah,
so, but I really like his message too on we shouldn't be crossing our hands on PERS, crossing our arms and saying it's bad. Well, it is bad, but we have a lot of tools. We've come a long way. We know much more about biosecurity today, about disease control, disease monitoring. So his message being, what are we waiting for? Why don't we really tackle back and right and start getting rid of this disease? It's a good message.
Yeah. You know, as much as I do, I believe you have the same message too. You know, Daniel, speaking of that, and because this is the Asian country meeting, so most of the countries talk about ASF. And Japan is the only one country who is free of ASF. So if you go to China or Philippines and those people talk about ASF, pretty much something like a PERS that we deal with in the United States. I mean, ASF is everywhere in those countries I'm talking about. So they tend to focus on too much on the ASF or even CSF in Japan. But if you look at the number that has economical damages on each, you know, farm, I mean, PERS is actually the bigger than those guys too. Because once you got that, CSF or African swine fever or whatever, then pretty much the option is DPOP only. But for PERS, you know, sometimes we do, but sometimes we can't afford to do that. So, things like biosecurity or population medicine or the system-oriented approach to the disease challenge, we learn a lot from PERS, not from classical swine fever or not from ASF, actually. So that's why we wanted to focus on PERS for that means, not as a pathogen oriented, but the message that we can receive. So then again, going back to the keynote talk, Scala is not the only one who talked about the PERS, but we had a lot of keynote speakers and all the presentation speakers talk about PERS, but not focusing on the PERS as a pathogen, but more like the biosecurity or diagnostics and epidemiological approaches too, and I really, really like that.
I'd like to talk about some of the human aspects and your experience of sharing that, the IPVS, but before we go there, anything else in terms of technical or scientific presentation, anything in particular you'd like to highlight?
Well, if you could give me a day, I can keep on talking about how the APBS was successful, but I think we our time is limited, so maybe we can do that at other opportunities.
It's time for our famous three. We want to thank the innovative companies and products whose support and trust make this podcast possible.
Vaxinova, formulate to your needs, custom-made vaccines. AB Vista, intelligent nutritional solutions to boost pig health and performance. Why risk it? Your herd may have antigenic gaps that are not being covered by the products currently available. Custom-made vaccines provide a unique advantage in that they can be formulated to a herd-specific bacterial and viral needs. Choose the exact isolates, adjuvant, packaging, and size you need with Vaxinova for a vaccine formulated to your needs. Find out more by visiting us at vaxinova.us.com That's vaxxinova.us.com.
Sure. Yes, I understand. No small feat in sharing the APVS, right? Big thing. So I'd like to hear from you. What are the biggest challenges you had, if you want to share, organizing it, and what made you the most proud as chair for this 11th edition?
Well, I'm sure that Daniel, you have some experiences to run this type of meeting too. So from the standing point of the organizers, and we always worry about the money. Yeah. So to start with that, so we spend tremendous time and effort to recruit the sponsoring companies such as vaccine company or genetic company or production company to raise up the financial budget. So that was a tough one, and we are very pleased that we succeeded. And once it started, and the scientific program is another biggest challenge too, but we are so lucky and we are so pleased that, and we achieved that too. And also running that meeting, and we can't do it by ourselves, so we have to hire our staff. And the very detailed things happening and every day has to be taken care of those stuff. So probably those stuff are having a tougher job than I did. So I was the one who just step on the stage and make the opening comments and introducing the people also, but maybe staff behind the scene, and more than 100 people we hired for the meeting. So those guys are the one who take a vote, probably.
Any more on lessons learned for future meetings this size, whether there's a PVS or something else?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, good question. That requires another day to talk about too, but to make a long story short,
yeah.
I should say, speaking of my personal experiences then, Daniel, I also used to serve a chair of the big meeting called Emerging and Reemerging Pig Disease Meeting. That was almost 10 years ago in Kyoto in Japan. And I was the chair of there was a meeting at the time too. And that was 10 years ago, so I was a little bit younger than I am today. And that was very my first experience to run such a big meeting. And with a lot of collaboration, we are so lucky to conclude that Kyoto meeting very successfully. So, and we are very proud of that. And so I personally have that experience before. So I am more comfortable to run the meeting this time because of the expenses. Yeah, also it's a different meeting, and now that was only that was 10 years ago. So a lot of things have changed, but so those two experiences, 10 years ago in the Kyoto meeting and the last year on the Fukuoka, what I learned is, the meeting itself doesn't change the world. Have the meeting today, and so if you're expecting tomorrow, PERS is gone. Tomorrow, if the pork price goes very well, or feed cost goes down, is that happening tomorrow, right after the meeting? No, we shouldn't expect that. What meeting really does is, that give us the like a motivation or opportunity or information to change or improve. So if we don't use that opportunity, maybe meeting, attending a meeting and spend the cost to such a big meeting probably doesn't mean anything. So I think the value of this meeting we should create from now. Then we will see maybe 5 years later, what 10 years in the future, we looked back and okay, now we are the quality that we are today was because of the meeting that we did 5 years ago. So I truly believe that, you know, meeting, you know, the big meetings such as, you know, APBS or IPBS even, you know, meeting itself is like the gathering people and you know, the presenting the information, the learning information, and having fun too. But it really depends on each individual who use that opportunity in the future too.
Yeah, you're saying it's not just a place to gather people and learn, but also it has a role of bringing people together. And as Asia keeps to drive global pork production, exactly, you know, it plays a role in connecting science, practice, policy, and everything else, right? And should continue to be that way going forward.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's right, Daniel.
Well, the podcast here today was really to pick your mind here as the chairman for the 11th APVS held in 2025 November here in Japan. And thank you for taking the time and to share your experiences, perceptions on this. Before we close, any other take homes or closing remarks you'd like to our audience to hear today?
Sure. Well, again, first of all, thank you very much for giving me this opportunity, Daniel. And I hope that information that we talked about today can be of some value for the audience who kindly listening to our talk. So thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you. And so that was about all we had for today. And thank you one more time, Dr. Oteki, and for the audience. We'll see you next time.
Yep, thank you.
Do you feel overwhelmed with mundane tasks that eat up your valuable time? It's time to reclaim your schedule and focus on what truly matters. Get your time back with Elite Remote Talent without the time zone hassle. Delegate $10 an hour tasks to focus on more $1,000 an hour tasks. Schedule your free strategy call at wisevas.io.